morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Thursday, June 15th, 2006. I'm Brian Smith.
And I'm Chris Andre.
Coming up on this morning's newscast, the Eugene woman who had refused to deploy to Iraq says she was forced into a sexual relationship with her supervisor. Another of Bush's top advisors is stepping down. Crony and speechwriter Michael Gerson is leaving this week. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is expelling all independent media from Guantanamo Bay. And Bolivian President Evo Morales celebrated the 78th birthday of Che Guevara yesterday by visiting the revolutionary's birthplace. Portland area weather, cloudy with showers, highs around 70, and tonight, cloudy with temperatures in the low 50s.
Washington Senator Maria Cantwell is urging President Bush to name a special envoy to Iraq to promote diplomacy in the Middle East and ensure the world community is engaged in efforts to bring peace. Cantwell, who voted in favor of a 2002 resolution authorizing the use of force in Iraq, said Iraqi security forces needed to step up so the United States can begin bringing troops home. In a speech on the Senate floor, Cantwell called for the United States to work with other countries to ensure that Iraq can meet the milestones necessary for Iraqi forces to take complete control of their own security. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki said the government should be able to do so within the next 18 months, although some outside observers question that. Cantwell's speech comes as she's drawn criticism from her party's left wing, which has blasted her vote to authorize the war. She also called for a summit among U.S. allies, other countries in the Middle East, and the U.N. to help reach a comprehensive agreement to guarantee regional security, protect Iraq's borders, and revive reconstruction efforts in the war-torn country.
An Army Oregon soldier who was arrested after refusing to deploy with her Army unit to Iraq for a second tour says she was coerced into a sexual relationship with her immediate supervisor. Suzanne Swift said three sergeants began propositioning her for sex shortly after she arrived in Iraq in February of 2004. She said she ended up having a sexual relationship with her immediate supervisor, but it wasn't her choice. In an interview with the Eugene Register Guard, Swift said, in a combat situation, your squad leader is deciding whether you live or die. If he wants you to run across a minefield, you run across a minefield. Swift remained in Iraq until February of 2005, and when her unit was redeployed to Iraq in January of 2006, she refused to go and remained in Oregon, citing the harassment as a reason. Her unauthorized absence violates the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and her penalty could range from a reprimand to court-martial or loss of all Army benefits and up to 5 years in prison. Swift's attorney, Larry Hildes, said that when Swift complained to the appropriate Army authority, an equal opportunity officer, her complaints were ignored. For rejecting the sexual advances of two men, Swift said she was publicly humiliated and forced to do extra work.
Oregon officials say, don't swim with the feces. Health advisories have been issued for three beaches because of higher than normal levels of fecal bacteria in the ocean this week. Rockaway Beach in Tillamook County, Dee River State Park Beach in Lincoln County, and Cannon Beach near the stormwater outfall at the Ecola Court Beach Access Point in Clatsop County are all under state watch. Health officials recommend people avoid direct contact with the water at these sites. The pollution can cause gastroenteritis, skin rashes, upper respiratory infections, and other illnesses. Although they discourage water contact, state officials say other recreational activities on the beach pose no health risk.
In the midst of Governor Ted Kulongoski's bruising re-election campaign this spring, he quietly signed a new compact enabling the Grand Ronde tribe to expand its lucrative Spirit Mountain Casino west of Salem. The revised compact expanding the casino's slot machines and gaming tables potentially is worth $30 million per year in gaming profits. The deal came 10 months after the Grand Ronde helped buy television ads attacking the governor for authorizing a rival tribal casino in the Columbia River Gorge. The Warm Springs tribe proposed Cascade Locks Casino would be closer to Portland, carving into Spirit Mountain's clientele of day trippers. But if Kulongoski hoped to mollify a tribe bitter about his support for a rival casino, the Grand Ronde didn't show its appreciation. On March 30th, 2 days after Kulongoski signed a compact allowing 33% more slot machines and table games at Spirit Mountain, the Grand Ron plunked down $204,000 for TV ads attacking Kulongoski and supporting his main Democratic primary opponent, Jim Hill. Those ads came 8 days after the Grand Ron launched similar ads for the Republican primary, attacking Kevin Mannix and supporting Ron Saxton. The curious timing of the ads and Spirit Mountain Compact renewal raised intriguing questions for the governor and the Grand Ron. Many questions remain unanswered. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
In California, a jury ordered three chemical manufacturers to pay the city of Modesto $178 million. The jury found that their dry cleaning products contaminated water with suspected carcinogens. Jurors in San Francisco Superior Court found the companies acted with malice because they failed to tell dry cleaners how to use the chemicals perchloroethylene or trichloroethylene without harming the environment.
In Idaho, the Northwest Power and Conservation Council has approved spending $2.7 million on hatchery facilities for an endangered run of sockeye salmon in central Idaho, despite a recommendation by a scientific panel to allow the fish to become extinct. The 11-member independent science review panel earlier recommended that Idaho's run of endangered sockeye salmon to central Idaho's Redfish Lake be allowed to go extinct. The panel cited dams and other downstream factors as reasons for ending a program that is attempting to keep the population viable. The panel wrote, "Not only are these limiting conditions not likely to change, the fish themselves are likely to be changing as a result to present intensive propagation and rearing procedures so that their viability, even under restored conditions, is increasingly in doubt." Because of that, the panel recommended that a captive breeding and rearing program designed to keep the fish from going extinct be ended. The Federal Endangered Species Act requires the federal government to work to preserve extinction unless a review panel votes to eliminate the species.
Utah Governor John Huntsman is a champion of Utah taking its place in the global economy. Now Huntsman finds himself in an awkward position after shutting down a state-owned online information site because it's in Spanish. Huntsman spokesman Mike Moore says the site will remain down until the governor's legal counsel can determine if its translations of basic state information violate a 2000 Utah law that makes English the state's official language. Critics say Huntsman overreacted to a xenophobic backlash that followed the recent visit of Mexican President Vicente Fox, and that continues to be fueled by the immigration reform debate. This from the Salt Lake Tribune.
On the banks of the Columbia River, Google is working on a secret weapon in its quest to dominate the next generation of internet computing. The Gorge is a backdrop for a multi-billion-dollar face-off among Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo for dominance in the online world in the years ahead. Microsoft and Yahoo have announced that they are building big data centers upstream in Wenatchee and Quincy, 130 miles to the north, but they are playing catch-up. Google remains far ahead in the global data center race, and the scale of its complex here is evidence of its extraordinary ambition. Even before the Oregon Center comes online, Google has lashed together a global network of computers known as the Googleplex that is a singular achievement. Google has constructed the biggest computer in the world, and it's a hidden asset, said Danny Hillis, a supercomputing pioneer and a founder of Applied Minds, a technology consulting firm. The fact that Google is behind the data center, referred to locally as Project O2, has been reported in the local press, but many officials in the Dalles, including the city attorney and the city manager, said they could not comment on the project because they signed confidentiality agreements with Google last year. This from the New York Times.
President Bush has dismissed calls for a U.S. withdrawal as election year politics and refused to give a timetable or benchmark for success that would allow troops to come home. Bush called a news conference as soon as he got back from Baghdad in one piece. The visit marked his first meeting with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. The president said he was impressed with the new leader's plans and character. Bush said, "I sense something different happening in Iraq." He defended the decision not to tell the Prime Minister that the U.S. President was in his country until 5 minutes before they met, and denied that it was because of any concern about al-Maliki's inner circle. Bush said he wanted to see a reduction in the deadly violence in Iraq, but would not say how much it must drop before troops can begin to withdraw. He offered other ways of measuring progress in Iraq, and an increase in oil production, or more electricity delivered to cool, sweltering homes, or growing numbers of Iraqi military units able to handle the fight. Bush also poked fun at a reporter for wearing sunglasses during the news conference, then later apologized in a phone call after learning that the reporter wore sunglasses because he's losing his sight to an eye disease.
Michael Gerson is, or was, one of President Bush's most trusted advisors and the author of nearly all of his most famous public words over the past 7 years. Now Gerson plans to step down in the next couple of weeks in a decision that colleagues believe will leave a hole in the White House at a critical period. Gerson said in an interview that he has been talking with Bush for many months about leaving for writing and other opportunities, but waited until the White House political situation stabilized somewhat. It seems like a good time, he said. Things are back on track a little, and some of the things I care about are on a good trajectory. Gerson was a formulator of the Bush doctrine, making the spread of democracy the fundamental goal of U.S. foreign policy. He led a personal crusade to make unprecedented multi-billion dollar investments in fighting AIDS, malaria, and poverty around the globe, and became one of the few voices pressing for more aggressive policy to stop genocide in Darfur, even as critics complained of U.S. inaction. Gerson is the latest in a series of longtime Bush aides to leave, following White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card, Press Secretary Scott McClellan, and Treasury Secretary John Snow. But newly installed Chief of Staff Joshua Bolton said in an interview that the departure is not part of his broader shakeup of the president's operation. No one is being tapped to take Gerson's most recent assignment as senior advisor. This from the Washington Post.
To celebrate the Army's 231st birthday, the Pentagon held a taste test of future meals ready to eat, or MREs, including the Hua Bar and first strike rations for recruits. According to the New York Times, the Army says soldiers are trained to follow orders in combat, but the Pentagon has learned that it cannot order them to eat, so it tries to tempt them with a wide-ranging menu, including energy-boosting Hua bars and mango peach applesauce. The Washington Post noted that the bars weren't measured against other energy bars. According to the Army, First Strike Rations, or FSR, is a compact, eat-on-the-move ration concept designed to be consumed during the first 72 hours of conflict, or the last, as the case may be. The Army website says the FSR substantially reduces weight and cube and enhances war-fighting consumption, nutritional intake, and mobility.
The United States military has ordered all independent media off the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base following the suicides of three detainees, this according to Ross Story. Writing for the Miami Herald, journalist Carol Rosenberg stated that the military had ordered all independent news media off the base and had arranged a flight to Miami to expedite their departure. A directive from the Office of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld prompted a two-sentence email that was sent to reporters from the Herald and the Los Angeles Times, which stated, "Media currently on the island will depart on Wednesday, June 14, 2006 at 10 a.m. Please be prepared to depart the quarters at 8 a.m. That was the entirety of the email, according to the Herald. A Pentagon spokesman said since confirmed the order to editor and publisher that has said it was not related to the journalist's news reports. Essentially, the Pentagon says that it began receiving complaints from other news agencies who felt the Herald and the Times were getting more access than they were given two options to allow more reporters or to remove the existing reporters. They chose the latter.
Representatives of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops urged Congress yesterday to create a far-reaching program to give the estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants in the United States a path to citizenship. The bishops gathering in Los Angeles in preparation for a general meeting today through Saturday were expected to discuss immigration and other issues. Catholic leaders who helped organize protests that have brought hundreds of thousands to the streets in recent months in favor of immigrants' rights have long criticized an immigration reform bill passed by the House of Representatives in December. That bill would build more fences along the U.S.-Mexican border, criminalize people who help the undocumented, and make being in the country illegally a felony, up from a misdemeanor. The bishop said fortifying the U.S.-Mexico border wouldn't stop the flow of immigrants, which they argued could only happen by expanding programs to allow more foreigners to enter the country legally and work.
And The Guardian is reporting that George Bush's 6 years in office have so damaged the image of the U.S. that people worldwide see Washington as a bigger threat to world peace than Tehran, according to a global poll. The Washington-based Pew Research Center found more people concerned about the U.S. presence in Iraq than about Iran's alleged nuclear weapons ambitions. The Pew Center said, despite growing concern over Iran's nuclear ambitions, the U.S. presence in Iraq is cited as at least as often as Iran, and in many countries much more often, as a danger to world peace.
The federal government says it will demolish some of the largest public housing projects in New Orleans, using the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina to help improve poor, crime-ridden neighborhoods. After the demolition, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development said it would build mixed-income developments on the sites. Residents who've been increasingly vocal in their demand to return to their housing projects vowed to fight the plans. HUD Secretary Alfonso Jackson said the agency would increase by 35% the amount it pays in vouchers to landlords so residents who are displaced could afford rents that have gone up dramatically since Katrina. Many have complained the vouchers were inadequate. Currently, about 1,100 families have been allowed to return to less damaged public housing units, while another 1,000 units should be open by August. Those slated for demolition suffered the most water and mold damage, and some had fallen into disrepair before the storm. The plans will be implemented as soon as possible, but could take 3 years to finish.
In Los Angeles, workers tore down fences Wednesday inside a 14-acre urban garden while evicting farmers and their supporters kept watch and vowed to prevent bulldozing of the inner-city green space. Landowner Ralph Horowitz won a court order last month to remove about 350 farmers, although the city said many already had left to farm other city-provided plots. On Wednesday, a handful of workers were busy removing the interior fencing that separated individual plots under the eye of private security guards in black T-shirts. However, there were no vocal protests and no arrests, police said. Horowitz, who could not be reached for comment Wednesday, has indicated he wants to raise the gardens and find tenants for the property, which is zoned for factories and warehouses and is surrounded by a gritty mix of industrial businesses. A lawsuit filed on behalf of the growers is scheduled to be heard July 12th in Superior Court. Attorney Dan Stormer said the evictions were merely a temporary setback.
The father of one of three inmates said to have committed suicide at the U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay has said he believes his son was murdered. Ali Abdullah Ahmed, father of a Yemeni detainee found dead on Saturday, said, "This idea of suicide is a lie. My son wouldn't commit suicide." The U.S. insists the men killed themselves and is awaiting final medical reports. The Defense Department has suspended all military trials for suspects at the U.S. detention camp in Cuba. No reason was given for the move announced in a Pentagon statement. The apparent triple suicide has drawn renewed criticism of Guantanamo and calls for it to be shut down.
A U.S. Marine has apologized after a video spread on the Internet of him singing a song about the killing of Iraqi civilians. Corporal Joshua Belial said the song had been written as a joke and was never intended to cause offense. The Marine Corps has described the song as inappropriate and is investigating the incident. Belial denied the song had any connection with the deaths of Iraqi civilians at Haditha last year. The chorus of the song, called Haji Girl, reprises a popular line from the popular puppet movie Team America, a satire based on the U.S. War on Terror. Both the film and Belial's song mock the language barrier between English-speaking troops and the Arabic-speaking world, using the phrase Durka Durka Muhammad Jihad to represent Arabic speech. Bilal's song told the story of the U.S. Marine who meets an Iraqi girl while under attack in Iraq. Instantly falling in love, despite the language barrier, he follows her home to meet her parents, only to find himself ambushed by her father and brother. In the closing lines of the song, the focus of most attention, Bilal's Marine grabs the girl's little sister as he comes under attack. The lyrics go, "As the bullets began to fly, the blood sprayed from between her eyes, and then I laughed maniacally.
Bolivian President Evo Morales celebrated the birthday of Che Guevara yesterday. It's the first time a top Bolivian leader has paid tribute to the revolutionary who was executed in the Andean nation 4 decades ago. Surrounded by Cuban and Venezuelan officials, Morales observed the 78th anniversary of Guevara's birth, using the occasion to praise his close allies, President Fidel Castro of Cuba and President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. Guevara, an Argentine, launched an armed revolt in 1966 to bring communism to Bolivia after helping lead the 1959 Cuban Revolution that ousted dictator Fulgencio Batista and thrust Castro into power. He waged a guerrilla insurgency for 13 months in Bolivia, but was captured and executed by the Bolivian army at age 39. Morales flew in a helicopter loaned by Venezuela to the small town of La Higuera, the site of Guevara's execution, 480 miles southeast of La Paz. Local children and nearby residents blew out birthday candles on a birthday cake, representing how old Guevara would be if he were alive. Morales said in a speech that a decade ago he had a dream that there would be other Cubas in Latin America.
Doubts have been raised about Israel's denial of military responsibility for the deaths of 8 Palestinians relaxing on a Gaza beach last Friday. Investigator General Meir Khalifi had said it was unknown what caused the blast, but hinted it was a Palestinian landmine. In a later interview, he again ruled out Israeli shelling, but said old Israeli munitions could have been to blame. Palestinians dismissed Israel's claims and are calling on the United Nations to hold an independent investigation. The deaths of 8 civilians on a beach near Beit Lahia, 7 of whom belonged to the same family and 3 of whom were children, sparked worldwide condemnation of Israel. The militant group Hamas, which heads the Palestinian government, ended an informal ceasefire and fired dozens of homemade rockets at Israel, causing panic and several injuries. Chief Palestinian negotiator Saeb Erekat urged the United Nations to launch its own investigation. This from the BBC.
An American-led force of 11,000 troops has launched the biggest anti-Taliban offensive in Afghanistan since 2001 today, this according to The Guardian. British, American, Canadian, and Afghan troops will sweep across insurgent strongholds in 4 southern provinces rocked by a wave of Taliban violence in recent months. The ambitious offensive, named Operation Mountain Thrust, aims to cripple the strengthening insurgency before NATO takes command of southern Afghanistan next month. The heaviest combat is expected in the mountains spanning western Uruzgan province and northeastern Helmand. The multinational operation is the broadest and most ambitious strike against the Taliban. Benjamin Freakney, the U.S. Major General commanding the operations in Afghanistan, said the troops would target Taliban hideouts across the 4 provinces.
And 4 Britons who claimed they were tortured in Saudi Arabia vowed to take their claims for compensation to the European Human Rights Court yesterday, after the House of Lords ruled that foreign states and their officials enjoyed immunity from civil actions. The unanimous judgment, supported by the UK government lawyers, was received with bitter disappointment by the men and condemned as a sad day for British justice by a coalition of human rights groups which supported them. One of the men, Bill Sampson, who has joint Canadian citizenship, said, "This gives a lie to Britain's ethical foreign policy. The government is more concerned with having cocktail parties for torturers than doing justice for their own citizens." Tony Blair was asked in the Commons yesterday by the Liberal Democrat MP John Pugh what redress UK citizens had when they were tortured abroad. The Prime Minister said the government had only intervened in the case to ensure that rules of international law and state immunity are fully and accurately represented and upheld. "We utterly condemn torture in every set of circumstances." The judgment followed by an appeal by the Saudi government against a Court of Appeal decision in October of 2004, allowing the men to sue officials for damages. This from The Guardian.
Russia is to build the world's first floating nuclear plant designed to provide power for remote areas of that nation. Under a contract signed yesterday, the plant will be built at an Arctic site where atomic submarines are made. Work is expected to start next year on two nuclear reactors and the huge platform for them, despite environmentalists' concerns. Nuclear industry leaders said fears about the safety of the facility were unfounded. Rosenergoatom chief Sergei Obozov said the plant was the ideal solution for providing power to remote Arctic sites. He said Russian authorities were looking at 11 other possible sites for such reactors and that customers from abroad were already interested in the technology. Environmentalists have been highly critical of the proposals.
A new report has found that a lack of international control over the global bullets trade is partly to blame for the spiraling bloodshed in Iraq, according to the BBC. Research carried out by the UK-based charity Oxfam says Baghdad's black market is awash with new ammunition. Much of it originated from factories in Eastern Europe and Russia, according to the report. It says the ammunition was either smuggled in or leaked in from supplies imported by coalition forces. Statistics in the report show some of the ammunition examined was manufactured over 20 years ago.
A French court has jailed 25 alleged Islamist militants for planning attacks in France in support of Chechen rebels. The main defendants received jail terms of 8 to 10 years, while others were jailed for 6 months or more. Prosecutors said the group's intended targets may have included the Eiffel Tower, the Halle shopping center, police stations, and Israeli interests. The group was accused of jihad links with Chechen militants fighting Russia. The ringleaders of the group, most of whom came from Algeria, allegedly received training in Afghanistan or in the war-torn southern Russian Republic of Chechnya. Prosecutors said the group plotted in 2001 and 2002 to attack targets in the French capital. The court heard that some of the plotters were former members of the armed Islamic group based in Algeria who had fled that country, traveled through Europe, and regrouped in France. This from the BBC.
Three Arab men have asked the Canadian Supreme Court to overturn measures that allow foreign-born terror suspects to be held for years without charge. This from the BBC. The men argue that detaining them indefinitely or deporting them back to their homelands to face possible torture violates the Constitution. Canadian Intelligence Services accused the three men of having ties to Al-Qaeda. The case comes amid an intense security debate in Canada after 17 people were held over an alleged bomb plot. The three-day hearing began on Tuesday with the men's lawyers asking the Supreme Court to quash the special measures because they circumvent normal judicial process and are thus unconstitutional. They also challenged the conditions of the men's detention and the government's refusal to disclose evidence against them. The men have been accused of having links to Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda network.
This has been the KBOO Morning News for Thursday, June 15th, 2006. Thanks for listening. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Our engineer is Just Steve. KBOO volunteers edited and produced some of the taped stories you heard today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Brian Smith.
We clear the air at 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge on translator K264AA, and 100.7 in the Willamette Valley on translator K220HR. If you'd like to volunteer in the AM newsroom, call Kathleen Stevenson at 503-231-8032, extension 202, or email us at amnews@kboo.org. Portland area weather today, cloudy with showers decreasing, highs in the 60s to low 70s. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, temperatures in the low 50s.